Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with composer Gabriella Smith to talk about her string quartet, Carrot Revolution, and her thoughts about composing in general. She grew up in Northern California listening to classical music as well as Joni Mitchell, the Beatles, and other music from the 60s. A graduate of the Curtis Institute of Music, she's now a doctoral fellow at Princeton University. I asked her how a piece begins in her head, from a musical idea, or an idea from life, or something else.
Well, it really depends on the piece. All of those things are possible. Sometimes, well, often, if I get a commission, they'll say, oh, we want it to be inspired by this. For example, the Barnes, they wanted it to be inspired by the arrangements, Dr. Barnes ensembles. But the actual music itself usually starts with me singing to myself. Sometimes playing violin, rarely piano. I don't really write on the piano anymore. Violin and singing definitely are usually the first ideas.
Do you think you're influenced by composers in history, particular teachers?
Yeah, definitely. Carrot Revolution, this piece I wrote for the Barnes, for example, is inspired a lot by Joni Mitchell. Let's see, Simon and Garfunkel is definitely in there, as well as Bach and Bartok and Ligeti and Perrotin and Georgian folk music and bluegrass. And so I have a very wide range of influences that I try to combine into my own voice.
That's great. So let's talk about the Barnes Commission.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about? And can you take us through the steps that you went through?
Well, when they commissioned me, they asked that the piece be inspired by the way Dr. Barnes arranged his ensembles, which is, I think, also the kind of assignment they gave to the three visual artists they commissioned. So at the Barnes Museum, they not only have great paintings and other great works of art, but there's also pottery and furniture and everyday metal objects that are all arranged into what Dr. Barnes called ensembles, which he arranged in a specific way to bring out different things like shapes, colors, textures, to show the similarities and differences between these works of art and everyday objects that we don't necessarily see as being related. So that's actually something I think about a lot in my music in general, but of course I specifically focused on that for this piece, which is maybe part of why these huge range of influences comes in. But it was also inspired by this quote from Cezanne that I'd heard. He said, "The day will come when a single freshly observed carrot will start a revolution." Unfortunately, I later found out that Cezanne never said that. It's actually from a fictionalized version of Cezanne in Emile Zola's novel, The Masterpiece. But regardless, I think it's a really inspiring quote, and I think it embodies that spirit of fresh observation and new ways of looking at old things that Dr. Barnes was also going for, and that I go for a lot in my music in general, and particularly in this piece.
Did you go through the Barnes before you started writing?
Yeah, they arranged a great private tour for me and one of the violinists in the quartet.
And so what was your reaction? Had you ever been there before?
Yeah, I'd been there once before with a group from Curtis. It was actually pretty overwhelming the first time just because there's so much in such a small space. You know, it's not like the Met or the MoMA where there's big walls with only one or two pieces. Yeah, and there's not captions at the Barnes, and so you're kind of left to figure things out yourself, which I really like. Yeah, I love seeing the juxtapositions and similarities and contrasts that Barnes was trying to point out.
So once you went through the Barnes, how did you then start your music? And I guess I'm thinking in terms of writing words. Some writers say they plot everything out in advance. They sort of know the beginning and they know the end, and a novel will come into being in the middle, but they sort of plot everything. And then other writers will say, no, I start and I see where it takes me. What's your composition process like?
I'm like those writers who know the beginning and the end, and then I fill it out. I usually know the beginning and the climax, and then I figure out the end and the middle. I like to plan out a trajectory ahead of time, or else I feel like it won't have a sense of direction. I like music that has a very strong sense of trajectory and direction from the beginning to the climax to the end.
Can you talk about this particular piece? Is there a narrative arc to it? Is there a story?
Well, there's no story, but it's about these juxtaposing ideas, often radically juxtaposing ideas. And the first vision I had of the piece was the climactic moment of the piece, which is this cut from horrendous noise played by the string quartet into Perrotin, or a reference to Perrotin, who is a 12th century composer of vocal music. So there's this cut from horrendous noise into, or music very much inspired by Perrotin.
When it's very percussive in the beginning, mm-hmm. and the violins are making sounds that maybe violins don't ordinarily make mm-hmm. in classical music. And I was thinking about violins in a different way, mm-hmm. and that was sort of similar to the way Barnes would put things on the wall, and you'd mm-hmm. think about those objects in a different
yeah.
way.
Right. Well, I think that's part of the idea of new ways of looking at old things, like what Barnes was doing, and this was part of my new way of looking at the string quartet. And I had this vision of the piece moving from these just percussive sounds in the beginning to pitch, to more traditional sounds you might hear from a string quartet, and then shifting back and forth on that continuum of noise to pitch in various parts of the piece, sometimes shifting gradually and sometimes cutting directly from one end of the spectrum to the other.
If you liked the idea that Barnes didn't have any labels, mm-hmm. maybe asking you to explain in words your piece isn't really fair.
Yeah.
Because maybe everybody takes something different mm-hmm. from it. Is there a message or a picture that you intended people to think about?
Well, I think the title, Carrot Revolution, is a great evocative, I don't know if image is the right word, but just feeling of what I want the piece to be about. There's not a story that I can tell you or a specific message, but I think the main feeling of the piece is weird and celebratory.
We're talking about what inspires you, and sometimes it's a musical idea or an idea from life, or if it's a commission, you're directed a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's a commission, do you then, you start with what they're asking you to do, but in the Barnes, for example, the Barnes Commission, mm-hmm. they said respond to the way Barnes displayed his art, but your response is very personal to you and brings in all your other influences.
Right.
So what other influences then, any particular that are prominent in this piece?
Yeah, well, Joni Mitchell is a big one in all my music, but especially in this piece, and Perrotin, I've mentioned him before. I briefly sang in the Princeton Georgian Choir. So there's a section that's very inspired by Georgian folk music from Georgia, the country, not the state. And also Simon and Garfunkel and Bach and Ligeti.
What about them?
Oh, I think the opening probably, I mentioned them specifically because I was listening to Cecilia right before I wrote the opening with that kind of percussive, yeah, the percussive part of that song. And I was like, oh, that's how I'm going to start my string quartet. And it's not a direct quote. It's not that rhythm or anything. But I was just like, yeah, that's the spirit I want to start this piece with. And I want it to be all percussive and then go into pitch. And that's for a Simon and Garfunkel song. That's, it's a catchy thing, but it's not revolutionary because it's instruments you would expect to be percussive. But it's really weird for a string quartet to start like that. So I love the idea of that.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.